This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. Please open your King James Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 15, verse 9, where we left off last time. Judges, chapter 15, verse 9. Just that rhymes, doesn't it? 15, verse 9. Okay? God is a poet. Just before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, every Thursday, or at least some Thursday, somewhere between 12 noon and 2 p.m., my anointed twin friend Scott Merson joins me here, and we open the door to the school and our hearts, and we pray for you. We pray for healing, deliverance, salvation, whatever is your problem. Somewhere between 12 noon and 2 p.m. each Thursday, you are welcome. Come each Sunday, 5 p.m., Anointed Word and Prayer. Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., Anointed Word and Prayer. And now we return to Judges chapter 15, verse 9, where we left off last time. Our hero Samson has a broken heart. He has just watched the one woman he has loved thus far and almost married burn down in a house with her father by the mean old Philistines. So Samson says, I'm going to get even. So he takes his hip and thigh, we might call it doing the twist, the Samson twist, and he goes out there and beats up and slaughters 1,000 Philistines. I mean, that's just with his hip and thigh. Now, that means that Samson is now on the hit list of the Philistine government. The Philistines had taken over the promised land and had the children of Israel captured. So he goes up into his own country, into the tribe of Judah, their territory. Remember, there are 12 tribes. Samson is of the tribe of Dan. But he goes up there thinking that Judah will protect him, because Samson knew the Bible, that in Genesis 49, when Jacob was blessing his sons, when he got to Judah, he said, Judah's going to kind of always cover for his brother. Will Judah cover for Samson, who is now being sought out by the Philistines?
9:9. And the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi.
Okay, the Philistines go up there into where the Judah tribe is, all right? And you know what they want. They want Samson.
Verse 10, and the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson.
We have come for Samson.
Are we come up to do to him as he has done unto us? Verse 11, then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of Edom.
Did you hear that? The brother Judah, there are 12 tribes. Samson is a tribe of Dan. Judah's his brother. They've got 3,000 men. Right then and there, brother Judah could have covered the back of brother Samson and annihilated the Philistines coming to arrest and kill Samson. Will Judah cover Samson's back?
And said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are ruling over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?
They say, Samson, what in the world have you done? The Philistines have conquered us. Don't you know we've got to live in low expectation? Don't you know we can no longer hope the Messiah is going to come through our lineage? Don't you know that we've got to hold our head down and go through life? Poor little me, poor little me, poor little me. How dare we have any hope? How dare we have any faith? We're just God's chosen people.
And he said unto them, as they have done unto me, so have I done unto them.
Samson is actually correct in God's word. At that time, the law of Moses God had given him, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Don't forget, the Philistines had started this. Samson was just trying to get married. That was it. But the wrong woman, of course. But so he was just trying to defend himself. And actually, that was the law of the land, even for the Philistines. Jesus had not yet come to say, just forgive, God's going to take care of it. Let him do the vengeance.
Verse 12, and they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee.
Samson, says his brother Judah, we are going to arrest you. Judah, what about your 3,000 men? Why don't you cover your brother's back?
That we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said to them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves.
Now, Samson is showing true brotherly love. Judah's not. You can tell Samson has grown out of all of this. You see, Samson knows that when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, supernatural strength comes. And if his brother Judah tries to kill him after they bind him, he would go into his Superman mode and he would zap them all. And Samson did not want to hurt his brother. He had brotherly love. Judah did not.
And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hands.
No, we won't kill you, Samson, but we're going to bind you and turn you over the Philistines and let them kill you. And brother, we're just going to sit and watch the show. We're not going to defend you. We're not going to speak up. We're not going to fight for you. We're just going to watch you be persecuted.
But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. 14. And when they came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him.
That Lehi there means jawbone. So what did they shout against him? They were so glad to see that Samson had been arrested. They probably said, lock him up, lock him up.
And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him.
Oh boy, here come the cameras. Thank God, but God, here comes the Spirit. I'll tell you, you could be hanging over the cliff, holding on to a broken shoestring that's attached to a dead tree, and your foot's already right down there in the alligator's mouth, but God.
And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that were burnt with fire.
It's talking about when you have a little wick in the lamp, you know, and you burn it, and that little soot that left there just kind of blow it away. It was that easy for him to break loose.
And his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone.
Oh, okay, here's Samson. He looks around. He has no sword. He has no knife. Now, that whole place is called Jawbone. So, obviously,
of an ass.
Of a donkey, I'll say that, okay? There are lots of them. They're dead. He didn't pick up a jawbone of one that had been out in the hot sun. It would have been brittle. It would have broken off. He gets a fresh one that's still strong. So he picks up the jawbone of a donkey. What in the world's he going to do with that? I'll tell you something, Christian. When the devil comes after you and you're surrounded, God's going to equip you with the weapon you need to win.
Amen.
And put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith.
Quack, quack, quack.
16. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps.
This means one pile in the Hebrew and then two piles, meaning two locations. Whack, 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 a zap of you, 500 over here, 500 over you, 1,000 here, and two piles of Philistines with the jawbone of an ass.
The jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. 17. It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking.
Now, this is interesting. Why did Samson state that? The tribe of Judah was watching. They did not lift their hands. Oh, you Christians, when are you going to cover your brother's back? How long will you watch the show before you get in the fray and fight for your brother? When Samson killed the lion with his hand, he did not tell anyone. He's had time to think why he's in this deep trouble. He actually loved that Philistine woman. That was the only woman he loved. And now he's heartbroken. So he's put it before God. And he's thinking, if I had told my mother and daddy the awesome thing that I killed a lion with my hand, I would have been able to deal with that. It was traumatic for him. He went into the wedding thing with that on his mind. So he needed to share it. So he threw his pearls before swine. The woman betrayed him. The 30 bachelors betrayed him. So this time he's going to do something. And here, listen to me, Christian. So the devil comes after you, those of you who are chosen, called, and elected. He comes after you to kill you. And when God gets through with the whole story, and God gets you through, and you win, and you're still standing, speak it out of your mouth. Declare the parable. Because otherwise, it's dot, dot, dot. It's finished. It's a done deal. Now, one thing we're going to realize, the tribes of Judah, 3,000, are watching this. The Israelites did not know that Samson had the power of God on him and was God's appointed judge. The Philistines did, because they'd been a victim. So he declares and decrees his destiny. I got this. And the church folks are watching.
And he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramoth Lehi.
The house of the jawbone.
18. Was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thine servant. And now shall I die of thirst?
Bless his heart, he'd taken the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 Philistines who were planning to kill him. By the way, the Philistines don't just kill you, they torture you first, and he knew that. And he was thirsty. But I can also tell you something. When the anointing and Spirit of God comes upon a man or woman, when you get through, maybe you've only gone 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour. It's like you've been digging ditches in the sun for 12 hours. There's a dunamis, dynamite power, the Holy Spirit that goes through you. It's like electricity. And boy, is it pretty tough on the flesh. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But it does make you a little bit thirsty. There was another man who said, I thirst. He was on an old rugged cross many years after Samson. He'd been on that cross for almost 6 hours. He had to stay there for six. Six being biblical numerics, the number of depraved mankind. And in order to complete the 6 hours, Jesus said, I thirst. Jesus is the well of water.
Amen. And fall into the hand of the uncircumcised.
Samson knew that if he passed out then, that they would torture him.
Verse 19, but God.
But God. Let's everybody say it. But God. Do it again. But God. One more time. But God. Don't forget.
Clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again.
Samson has revived. You know something I've learned about God? Everything is spiritual. Every single thing is spiritual. You think feeding your cat a dog is a human thing to do. Everything is spiritual. When I was in college, I studied voice, singing, and speech, and they gave us a little hint. Sometimes when you're speaking or singing, your throat gets dry and you don't have time to grab some water. If you would take your tongue and press it behind your top teeth to the roof of your mouth. Press down. Saliva will come out of your throat, the hollow of your jawbone, and will give moisture to your throat. Try it. Don't bite your tongue. Just take it, twirl it back up behind your upper teeth. Press it down, and you will see that water comes out. See, everything is about God. You say, that's silly. No, it isn't. God did that. If God did that to make you press your tongue and saliva and water can come out of your jawbone, don't you think he can make water come out of a jawbone of an ass? It's all God.
And he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof Enhotkori.
Enhotkori in the Hebrew means the well came when he called. The well came when he called. Some of you Christians are dry and thirsty. You go through the motions. You go through church. You say prayers. You don't pray prayers. And you don't do any good. You just trot along. There's no joy. You've gotten away from the well. You've gotten to a ritual routine. Call on the well. Call for the Holy Spirit. Call for the fresh anointing. When you seek for him with all your heart, you'll find him. The water's there. But you've got to go and get it. Call for it.
Which is in Lehi unto this day. Verse 20. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years.
Now, this is beautiful. The Philistines are there, but now Samson was 20 years old when all of this happened. Now he is the God-appointed judge and accepted by Israel for 20 years. So now we move along until he is 40 years old. This shows that despite the fact that the Philistines are laying there at bad, that he is such a great job, God judge. He sets things in order, shofat in the Hebrew. And he keeps the people knowing God and God's word, that he keeps peace between them. There are no more women. There was that one woman he loved, and we're going to come back to that. It's very important. The one woman he loved, and now he's 40 years old. He's been a successful judge 20 years of the people. The Judah saw him getting the victory. So Judah, you know, they selected him. God selected him, but they agreed.
Judges chapter 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw an harlot, and went in unto her. Verse 2, and it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson hath come hither, and they compassed him in.
Okay, we're going to talk about this harlot and how this refers to you, because it is mentioned in Revelation 18. But God has given me something that I need to share with you. Every time I teach a book of the Bible, whoever is the character in the Bible, remember these are real people, their spirit merges with mine. You say, "Woo, no, they're alive. I'm a spirit, you're a spirit, God's a spirit. Can we be that separated?" Their spirit merged with Holy Spirit to write each book, each one of these prophets, and that spirit's in the word. If Jesus tarries and I go home before he comes, you could hear my tapes and you would feel my spirit in there, although it is one with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand?
Yes.
So I feel the spirit of these people, and Samson has touched my heart. It looks on the outer that he's a womanizer. Not at all. He fell in love with a woman. It was the wrong woman, because he's not to be unequally yoked. We're supposed to keep the seed line pure. But as you can see, he did not marry her. Now, I want to talk to those of you who are parents of children who are chosen, called, and elected, and you know that of God. Now, many are called, but few are chosen. Every Christian, on the sound of my voice, you are called. You're supposed to give your life completely, totally to God and love Him and be what He wants you to be. Give up what He wants you to give up and do what He wants you to do. But those who are chosen were chosen before the foundation of the earth, Ephesians 1:4, when Satan rebelled. God chose you then. And He sent the chosen ones out for one specific purpose, and you must keep your purpose. And God had told Samson's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Manoah, that Samson was sent to begin to drive out the Philistines and to set the people free. Jesus would finish that. Now, his parents did this. So those of you who have grown up and you've known from a child God had chosen you, and maybe you married the wrong person, you got the wrong career, you didn't get this and you didn't get that, don't worry about it. Or you're the parent of a child that's called of God. Listen to me, let me help you. His parents did all of the law things right. He was not to cut his hair. He did not do that. He took the vow of a Nazarite. He was not to drink wine. He did that. But here's something they forgot to do. They forgot to tell him that because you are in a human body, there are these physical desires. Now listen to me, all of you. It is not a sin for a male to be attracted to a female, or a female to be attracted to a male. God made them male and female, and He did that, and He meant for the right ones to get married and multiply so every soul could come on through and get this thing over with so we could go back home and be with God. It is an aberration for a female to be with another female. It is an aberration for a male to be with another male. So I want you to know, if you're teens and tweens, that it's not a sin. Samson was not in sin. He fell in love with the wrong woman. That is true. But he did not know to handle this. Now, Peter tells us, this is for you chosen ones, whether you've grown up or whether you've got a child. Peter says, you are not your own. This is for the Zadok, the elect. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. You are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You were not sent to this world, not any of you, to have fun, to have a family, to have career. Yes, we have those things in there, but that's not your purpose. Even those of you who are not chosen but are called, now that you're called, you're supposed to get busy and get some other people called and go win some souls. But for those of you who are chosen and know you are, and you're set on a special assignment, God first, God first, God first. In other words, Paul says it's better not to marry, but if you can't handle that, it's better to marry lest you burn. But if you're going to marry, you must marry someone who's of the same spiritual frequency, or you're going to have trouble. Because Jesus says you must love. He says, hate father, mother, sister, brother, husband, meaning love less. In other words, you weren't sent here for fun. None of you all think that Jesus died on the cross so you could have a great, good old time. This is just a test. You're sent here on an assignment. All of you, either to get saved, get someone else saved, but those of you are called to get the word of God to publish it out. So I want you to understand, you must tell your children this. Why would you work all of your life to keep something you cannot take with you? I have seen God take men who took me out to dinner and said, I love you. I want you to marry me. And I said, I'll let you know in the morning. In the phone call, my boss just sent me to Timbuktu, Sherry. Will you go to Timbuktu with me? No. In other words, we don't belong to anybody but God. But I want to make it to you too, all of you. You're bought with a price. Why don't you just ask God what He wants you to do? You know, we don't have to be like the world. It's wonderful to be in love. It's wonderful to have the right mate. But be very, very careful, those of you who know you're chosen. If you get the wrong one, I watch them. They have come to me by the hundreds. They marry the wrong person. And and then they get out of their destiny. They're miserable people, and they never do fulfill the purpose. So I hope that helps you there. I'm going to talk just a moment about this harlot. In Revelation chapter 18, there's a harlot there, Mystery Babylon, the great harlot, the whore, sits upon a beast covered with scarlet and purple. I believe, Max, you had a vision of that one time, sitting on the ocean. That's the sea of people. That's the Antichrist. That harlot veil will be its representative of the part of the body of Christ that will be deceived when the Antichrist comes before Jesus. Half a wise and half a foolish. Half of the body of Christ is going to marry the wrong bridegroom, which makes you a harlot to Jesus. So we're going to see that Samson goes in where the harlot is, and we're going to stop that story here today, and we're going to pick it up next time and show you what happens at the midnight hour. He comes back out. We may have time to do this. Let's let him pick up the gates.
And they wait for him all night in the gate of the city.
Okay, the enemies all around him. Now, when the elect are delivered up to the brothers and sisters of the Christian church, that'll be the whore there, the ones the Christian church deceived. They're going to bring us up before them, have trials. The whole world's going to watch, so all the world will be encamped around watching the elect, represented by Samson, go in unto the harlot, the deceived part of the body of Christ, because we won't accept the Antichrist.
And were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him.
They thought he would party in there and be tired, and he would get up in the next morning and be so tired they could easily kill him.
Verse 3, and Samson lay till midnight.
The midnight hour. Jesus says, I come as a thief in the night. When does the thief come? The midnight hour. Matthew 24:25, he says, and the bridegroom came at midnight, and some of them had no oil in it. In other words, it's darkest just before dawn. The elect to deliver up to the harlot, the deceived part of the Christian church, before them trials, because we will not receive their Antichrist as the Jesus. They mean well. They're trying to save our souls. But we know that right after midnight, Jesus is coming, the real Jesus.
And took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up into the top of a hill in Hebron.
He goes in, he does a gate to the city, he unwinds it, he puts it on his shoulder, the Spirit of God comes on him. He not only gets the gate, but he picks up all of the fence around, and up he goes and away with this. We just sang the song, to God be the glory. He opens the gateway. There was another one bearing on his shoulders an old rugged cross. That was Jesus. His body was bloodied. His face was swollen. They'd pulled out his beard. They'd beaten his back. And he dragged that cross and crawled up an old hill called Golgotha, the place of a skull. And they nailed him to the cross. He died on that cross. Jesus arose from the dead, and he opened the gates of heaven so that all may go free. Praise the Lord. We'll begin right there next time. Did you like that? God bless you. But it's time now for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida. Ooh, that's good. A man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson.
Hi, Sherry.
How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good. I mean, it's just amazing how he's weaving this word through us in the weeks, and the enemies in the gate, and just amazing.
It's amazing.
It really is. It's amazing. Okay, our first question. All the gates of hell are attacking President Trump. How can we pray for our president?
Bless his heart. Yes, President Trump has been appointed by God, and all the gates are against him. First of all, there's a Hebrew word, shamar. It means that God is the wall of fire around you and guards you and protects you as a precious treasure. So we pray that the Lord will shamar him around air, land, and sea, and protect him. Angel of the Lord encamp round about him. No weapon formed against him shall prosper. President Trump shall not die, but live in the word of God. You need to, all of you, cover him with a great prayer cover of love and protection. Ask God to anoint him and give him supernatural wisdom, like Samson and the judges, supernatural wisdom to make right decisions, and God will be with him.
Yeah, Psalms 91, and no weapon formed against him
shall prosper. That's
yeah,
a good one.
Okay, our next question. Somebody wants to know, does your Uman and Thuman trust the people around President Trump at all?
Just my Uman and Thuman trust.
Yeah.
The Uman and Thuman was the breastplate that the priests wore in Exodus, and they would go in to ask the Lord a question, and a light would shine on this little Uman and Thuman they had in their breast there, and God would say yes or no. Quite frankly, my Uman and my Thuman, which is the Holy Spirit, does not trust anybody who's around President Trump right now. I just keep getting a no. That barometer, that compass says no. So this is why we have to pray for him. I do not find anyone that I can feel would not betray him. He's a man appointed by God, and he's been sent there to clean this up. This is a hard thing, but God is able to deliver him and help him, so pray for him.
Amen. Amen.
David left his stuff in the car, Ezekiel put his stuff in a bag, and let's welcome Scott Stuff.
The church of today that dwells in idolatries of outward appearance, of success and recognition by men and men's judgment of success, is controlled by the worldly spirit of immediate gratification and glory. Whom is it you serve? You read my words, but you do not chase my heart. The Lord is calling his people out of such places. Wake up, church, for the destruction is at hand. Revelation 18:4-8.
That is so beautiful. My goodness. Thank you, Scott Merson. That is so beautiful. Thank you very much. For those of you who are lost, the Spirit and the bride say, come. So please pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me, Lord, for all my sins.
Please wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me and fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Save me and fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To increase the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
To increase the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number, and feel free to call and leave that message and tell me you were saved, and I will pray for you. For those of you who are sick, Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask now, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. I feel the Spirit of God going to the north now. There's some people going to the north from where I am at this point, and the Spirit is moving there like a whirlwind and dropping in healing balm into bodies, and pain is being gone and diseases are being healed. And I feel the Spirit of God from the south of me, the back of me, and the whirlwind is blowing and the healing is blowing. From north to south, the east and west, the healing virtue of Jesus Christ covers this earth and covers the air. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you healed. His Yahweh Rapha, he's the God who heals. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Your strength is renewed as the eagles. Your youth is renewed as the eagles. You run, you're not weary. You walk, you do not faint. Hallelujah. With Jesus' stripes you heal. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Whew, I got mine. If you got yours, feel free to tell me that also. And now it's time for your love line of the week, from God's heart to my heart to your heart. Speaking of the fact that our life is not our own, we're bought with a price. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "No greater love hath this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." And Jesus calls you friend. God bless you. Don't forget, each Thursday from 12 noon to 2 p.m., Scott and I are here to pray for you. Come right on in. Just walk right in. Sundays, 5 p.m., Word and Prayer. Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m., Word and Prayer. Tell people of the radio program. Get us on demand, WMIFM.com. And remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus says in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock saying, God bless you, God keep you, I love you, and now go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Can conquer disease and change the world. majesty and displayed for all the world to see. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder? The glory of your holiness, the mercy of your faithfulness. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder? We sing, great are you, Lord, for we adore you. Lift up your name and fall before you. We stand in awe and sing, great are you, Lord. We lift up our voice, we say,
You're listening to WMIE, Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music.
serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind,